Gary, I remember many years ago when you first introduced me to this concept of agile development, and could you help us to frame it for our listeners who are listening right now and thinking, agile development, I have a little hard time with my arthritis getting around. Is it about that? No, it's
not. Am I that agile anymore? I don't know. Well, let me introduce our guest, Jason Dinkelman. Jason, welcome back to the Internet Advisor.
Thanks for having me again.
So you and I have worked together, and we went through an agile development transformation. Together. And the way this started was in 1996, there was a group of people at Chrysler that said, you know, the way we develop software anymore isn't working as well as it could. And they came up with this concept called extreme programming. And extreme programming, people went, wow, that's really great, because you actually talk to the users and you get their requirements on an ongoing basis. and you do it in very short iterations. And it's been perfected over the years where you start to, and there's different, you know, people have different concepts around it, but really around, you know, when you start doing agile really well, you start writing the test first and you really start developing very small units of code. And this just took off. And this is now being done everywhere in the world. And we hadn't done much more of it here. And a few years ago, we dabbled with it. And as we saw this big company in Silicon Valley using it now and putting out products so quickly, and Google now uses it, everybody uses it, right? Almost everybody that is a household name in computer technology and software development is using some form of Agile, and some of them doing it really well. We kind of got on the bandwagon. There were a couple others, Menlo Innovations out in Ann Arbor, Rich Sheridan, and a few other people had really been kind of the proponents
that
of
idea,
it.
Right, yep.
But at Gale, we went through this big agile transformation. I remember when I first got there as a CIO, and I said, I think we need to do agile development. And people said, you know, oh, we can't do agile. We tried that last year. It was painful. It failed miserably. You know, pick something else.
If by last year you meant shoving everything offshore, saying, that's pretty agile.
Agile to somebody
no,
else, right?
That was just quick, not agile.
That's right.
It's now caught on. Yeah, and a lot of companies here in the Detroit metro area are using it and being real successful with it,
for
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about kind of your experience, and then let's talk about this big conference called Agile and Beyond coming up.
Yeah. So, my experience was similar to what you said. You know, I was at Cengage when you got there, and I was probably one of the seven developers that were at Cengage before you got there.
They were all seven, right?
All seven of us doing about 50 projects, all in a very waterfall-y, gross way. And, you know, for us, for me anyway, it really opened my eyes to a better way of developing software where, you know, as at that time, I was an interface developer. So to be able to talk to the customer and the user and get their feedback and their understanding of it and then quickly turn around things, you know, build small pieces of code and do those things fast and quick and get them in front of the customer, that was fantastic.
So, yeah, get their feedback and find out if you had to make a change or not.
It was so much better than developing a product and working on it for 9 months, and this is going to be awesome, and then, you know, here you go, and the customers.
Well, and the gratification, and the gratification has to be, you know, for yourself. That's why you did this. You're proud of what you do, and the reward is much quicker.
Yeah, I think the best reward for the best reward for me when developing this kind of in this way is you know, we break all these ideas down into really small tasks, and you move those tasks along. It's kind of like a game. You kind of get into a game like who can move the most tasks forward the quickest, right? And so for me, that was the best part.
And you always check with the customer instead of like getting the requirements and 9 months or a year later, a year and a half later, sometimes giving them the product that they asked for, or at least our interpretation of what they asked for, which may not have been correct. And certainly they had moved on in the last year.
When you're talking about customers, by the way, you're talking within corporations.
This could be internal customers, but our customers at Gale were the educational market, so K-12, university market, public library market, a little bit of corporations as well.
But it could certainly be an internal customer. I mean, most companies, when you're developing in more of a waterfall-y way, right, you're working
Explain that waterfall-y way.
So basically getting all your requirements together and validating all the requirements, and then you walk away for 9 months and build that, right? You work with your customer, for 3 months, say, and getting all those requirements nailed down. This is exactly how I want to build it. And then the team goes away and they build that thing that you said you were going to build, and then come back, and then you're like,
I wanted. Think of it this way.
Yeah.
Somebody says, now, I'd like it blue.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, that's royal blue to me. Right. Well, no, it's aqua blue to you. It's some other blue for, it's some, describe blue again.
Yep.
So we don't ever, it's not often we miss requirements as developers, but we misunderstand them all the time.
I tell you where this makes sense to me. I think of some experiences with developing websites where you give the person kind of an outline of, I'd like it to do this. I don't know what that would look like necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the person trots off and develops something and comes back and says, here. You are.
Exactly.
And I said, well, actually, it doesn't look like quite what I thought it was going to be like, but that's it.
So in that sense, I come from a web development background as well. And for me, that's exactly it, right? Because then, you can't just walk away and develop something and then you're going to come back and give it to somebody and say, there it is. And you're like, and part of it is we can't read your mind, right?
So absolutely. Yes. As developers.
That high touch coming back and forth by saying, is this what you want? No? Okay. Is this what you want? Nope.
Is that the nature of Agile then? Yeah. Is it that you're more frequent? More frequently you're coming back.
And what we tell people is don't do anything for a longer period of time than what you're willing to trash, to give up. Right?
Say that again.
Don't do anything. So if you took and said, all right, I'm going to go off and develop, and I'm going to develop for a day, that means you're willing to throw away everything you did for a day because it could be wrong.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So if you do that for 9 months or a year, you're going to throw it all away because it's not, it's not what the customer wants.
Can I guess that Microsoft never caught agile development?
Well, they have lately.
They do now.
They
have lately.
Good, good.
So the point is, we try to get the customers, or at least a representative of the customer, sitting right at the table. Right? A big table, we're all sitting around, people say, oh, that's pretty chaotic.
So they're involved.
Well, it is, and they think, oh, well, then that will elongate the process. It doesn't.
That's an interesting point right there.
Because I say, look, is this what you want? No. Is this what you want? No. Yeah. Is this what you want? Yeah, that's closer. How about this? Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I just, so what was I willing to waste? I was willing to waste about a minute and a half. Right? Each time.
That is fascinating. It's interesting because the other way is kind of like a mentality that says, look, I'm the expert, okay? You've told me what you want. Now get out of the way. I'm the expert, and I will do my expert thing. And when you come back, of course, you'll fall on your face.
Those people
don't
normally last in an agile development shop, but they usually last in their mom's basement.
Yeah. I love that. That concept is a fascinating one. When was that developed initially?
So this extreme programming, so there were things that were good and things that were bad, and as they changed it, and in 81, they came up with the Agile Manifesto, and it's been pretty well received after that and been going since.
Oh, okay.
Since then. 2001 is when they did this.
Right.
And there's been some slight modification. Some people have said, okay, well, we can make it better. And there's a conference that's now in its sixth year. Jesus, how long?
I know, exactly.
6 years.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
6 years. And it's called Agile and Beyond because there's some things, what worked with one team, you had to learn to scale it across many teams. What worked in one location, you had to be able to scale it to, to a different location. And could you do agile development?
Right.
So this whole concept, this has now grown into a conference that's really well received.
It's really well received. I mean, this year we've expanded the conference. Typically the last 5 years has been one day. Last year was a day and a half, but now it's two full days. One day of kind of half-day workshops and then another full day of 38 different sessions.
This be taking place then?
It's at the Doba Hotel and Conference Center in
Dearborn.
Yep.
In Dearborn, okay.
Yep.
And this is going to, we'll be posting, by the way, on our homepage for those of you interested in this.
April 30th to May 1st are the 2 days, Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
And, there's going to be lots of really experienced Agile developers.
Yeah, actually, one of the original signers of the Agile Manifesto is one of our keynotes, Dr. Alistair Cockburn.
Okay,
so he's flying in from Europe, so he's coming in.
No, and there's also people that just want to become Agile developers,
absolutely.
Right? They like it. They've heard about it. They've read a lot about it, but now they get to rub shoulders with people that, and normal people, normal developers that can say, I've been doing it for a while.
That's talking with, by the way, Jason Dinkelman, who is with us. He currently works for About Golf.
That's right.
Is the site that you work with right now.
Yep.
But we're talking about Agile development and a conference called Agile and Beyond. It's going to be taking place in Dearborn April 30th through May the 1st. Talk more, a little bit more about that. I'm fascinated about the trip that this has taken to leave the Detroit area, go out, and now coming back in. We're going to continue that conversation here on the Internet Advisor in just a moment. In studio, of course, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, Kel Carson, and Jason Dinkelman is with us. Jason is a developer. He's worked in the past with Cengage Learning. That's where Gary and he worked.
That's right.
Past, but you're now with About Golf.
Yep.
We're talking about a very special event coming up, which is the Agile and Beyond Conference coming to Dearborn April 30th through May 1st, and we'll make sure that we have a link up on our homepage about that.
Great.
One of the things you talked about, Gary, before was that this whole concept of Agile development, and by the way, this is kind of a wrap, give you a little bit of a replay of that, folks. It's the sense of instead of taking a project, getting the instructions from a customer on what they want, and then going off to your cave with your companions and developing these really cool things for 9 months, and then coming back and presenting this big new whatever it was to the customer and hoping that they loved it or didn't dislike it too much. That's not Agile. And the Agile process, Jason, has essentially been to break that whole thing down, keep the customer much closer to the process, so that you're actually much more efficient in the way that you're creating.
Absolutely. You're more engaged with your customer in developing the product they really want. And as Gary said, you know, you're okay throwing away a certain amount of the project because, oh, I was wrong. But I was only wrong for a week, not 9 months, right? So it makes it much easier and much more intuitive to the
Can you think of an example? Oh, go ahead, Kel.
Well, then that breaches the question with me, and that is, did you get the wrong requirements in the first place?
No, I don't think so. I mean, sometimes it could be the wrong requirement, but I think more likely it's something kind of Gary alluded to. It's, well, I want that blue, and my blue is maybe, you know, dark blue, and Gary's is light blue, right? So Gary told me I want a blue.
I might say I want to be the user to be able to get on, and they're called stories, right? And you have user stories. And one of the stories might be, I want the user to be able to get onto the site and go to this kind of resource, maybe a listing of whatever, and be able to select and, you know, take and put them in their shopping cart and pay for it. Well, you have an idea of what that looks like, right?
Yeah.
But the developer that's listening to you has a different idea of what that looks like.
Right.
And if they do their idea, it's not yours. You come back and go, that's not exactly what I was thinking, right? So it's not that we miss requirements, but we misunderstand requirements
time. The other thing that happens in that situation is that the customer says, I want this, 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 and this. And it sounds great in their mind or on paper, but then you actually start developing it, and they use it very quickly, right? It gets to them fast. And they're like, oh, that seems really clunky. Right? So they can change their mind.
They
can change their mind. And they do all the time. And usually
when they get their hands on it.
Absolutely. And that's part of the process. I mean, you get the project to them, a piece of code that actually works versus a piece of paper that might just have
Of Word. Had Microsoft Word, had you developed that using an Agile process? Because you get all these requirements and you start working on them. And people say, oh, I want this and I want this. And they start hanging ornaments on that tree, right?
Exactly.
And all of a sudden you've got this whole thing and it looks beautiful when it's done. But you're really only going to use a small function,
right,
a small percent of the functions, right?
To figure it out.
And, the whole idea is with Agile is, okay, let's build the important stuff first.
Right.
Then let's build the next most important stuff, and then the next most important stuff. And now let's release it to the customer and get their feedback, right? And then we'll figure out what else and what else. And you know what? That whole long list of requirements, about a third of it never gets done because they kind of went, you know what? We've got 90-some percent of the people want.
We
don't need that other 25, 30, or 40%.
That's very interesting,
And that's really what happens. So it's cheaper. It's faster, right? You get to market sooner, and you ideally meet the customer's needs. And that's really the value proposition. We took developing products from 18 months average down to 6 months.
Wow.
And because we use test-driven development, we took an average of 200 or so defects per product.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Word that went out with 203 defects when it went out the door from Microsoft. That's pretty typical.
Mm-hmm.
We took that down to less than a dozen, and in some cases, zero.
Right.
And the dozen were all really small. We didn't stop the launch because of a really small display type of thing, of defect way down in the product,
mm-hmm.
right? But we fixed it. We were able to fix it and do that in the first couple
weeks. We're talking about this in terms of...
So that's the value proposition of Agile development.
We're talking about software development, I guess, or program.
Right.
But I'm sure that this has been applied across other areas as well, right, Jason?
Yep, absolutely. You know, a lot of the sessions that are at Agile and Beyond this year, you know, as we've gone over this 6 years, it's really expanded.
It's beyond.
Right. It's now really gone beyond, right? And it's something that we really tried to do when we were making the schedule this year was to try and get people who are kind of bringing a different bent to the idea of Agile or Lean or Kanban, which are all kind of in that same realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, there's been sessions in the past about personal Kanban, or personal Agile, right? Being able to apply the things that we do in software development, but your own life, right? How to get tasks done and things like that. So that was always an interesting thing.
It's absolutely fantastic. I'm thinking of, matter of fact, my mind's kind of going through a lot of things that I wish we had done, because in our church we had just done a huge reorganization, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, boy, that would have been a much better way of doing it, rather than trying to come up with this enormous organizational chart
right. mm-hmm.
and saying we want to do all of this. There had to be a better way to do it.
And I think too, and Agile's really good at that. I mean, you know, the one thing we always talked about, you know, first organizational chart where it's, you know, top down. We have a very flat team, right, and everybody it's very team oriented, and everybody has a voice and
self organizing teams,
and self organizes, right? Yeah. So you know. You bring the work to the team, and they help you build that in the fastest way possible. Because, you know, as a team, you get really good at knowing what you're good at versus the business folk coming in and saying, you're good at this, and you're good at this, and you're good at this. The team is able to say, just give me the work.
You know, it would also
figure it out for you.
It would also seem to really work against the old silo mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft right. was and GM were two companies that were traditionally seen as they had silos of whether it was sales or a certain model or whatever it was
mm-hmm.
that had their expertise, they had their leadership, and
yep.
then and Microsoft has had to go through this enormous. I think GM too, from what I've heard.
Name names, but we do have certainly a large corporate presence from certain car companies at the
there's
conference this year.
So Ford is buying into Agile in a big way,
maybe.
And it's going to very much change the way development's done at Ford, and they have to, and they know it, and they're doing it. GM's trying really hard. Some of the other bigger companies around here, and that's why it's now happening here, because for the longest time, again, it was such a great idea. Everybody started to adopt it, but you had to be small, and you had to shoot a lot.
Well, it would threaten
a lot of
structures.
Right?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I talk to people about it, you know, we go to these meetup groups or whatever throughout the year, and people from companies that are huge, and they really, you know, they've read about it, they really want to do it, but they're like, how do you, you know, they always talk
agile scale. Right?
They always ask me, you know, how'd you guys do it at Cengage? Because Cengage is a big company. I'm like, well, we burned the boats, you know, it was basically, right? It was like, you can't go back. So it was fairly, but on that part of it, we had a lot of support from the top. So
that's right.
You know, you got to have support.
Jason, thank you so much for being here. Jason Dickelman, we've been talking about Agile development, and sounds really exciting. Agile and Beyond is the name of the conference. It's coming to Dearborn, April 30th through May the 1st. Thanks so much, Jason, for being with us.